All right, Song of Solomon, chapter number 7. And let's begin reading in fact, we're just going to read one verse, and that's verse number 1. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter! The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman. Boy, I'll tell you, there's a thought in that last part of that verse I hope the Lord let me deal with. And I plan on doing that in the future. Let's look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the good joy and the good spirit. Thank you for the good singing, the good presence of God, the good touch this morning. I pray now, Father, that you'll continue to work in our hearts as your children to purge us of our sin that may, Lord, be lurking somewhere in the shadows of our soul. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless your people that may be discouraged this morning, and those that are carrying heavy burdens and loads, may they find, Lord, the grace of God sufficient to cast that care upon thee, because you do care for us. I thank you again this morning for Sherry and for Sis being in the service. I pray you'll bless them in a special way for their drive here. I pray, Lord, that you'd save some old sinner today by the good grace of God, and help the preacher. Without your power and your presence, all things will be vain this morning. For without you, Lord, I can do nothing. I'm just a body of clay. But thou art spirit and truth, all wise, all powerful. And you're able this morning to subdue our enemies for us, to help us to be overcomers, to walk triumphantly by faith, and to see great things done for thy glory. Again, I pray for liberty to preach and help from the hand of God, and reminding myself, Lord, that you're a present help in trouble. And so you stand alongside this morning to comfort and to give grace and help to us. I pray that you'll do it for Jesus' sake, and we'll thank you for it in His name. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. I want to read the first part of verse number 1 again in chapter 7, where the Bible said, "How beautiful are thy feet." And then he adds to that, with shoes. And I want to preach a little while on that thought, or on that portion of Scripture this morning. And I've really got two titles to the message, and really got one title and then one other thought. If you won't think me so carnal, I wanted to preach this morning on the thought, these shoes are made for walking. But I think really that I'm going to preach around the thought that I got my traveling shoes on. I've got my traveling shoes on. The Bible said there, how beautiful are thy feet. And then he said, with shoes. If you remember in chapter 5 and verse number 3, when the Lord knocked on the door of her bedchamber, she made the statement. She said, "I have put off my coat, how shall I put it on? And I've washed my feet, how shall I defile them? But now, rather than being barefooted, the little bride has now put her shoes on." And the Lord accredits great beauty to her because she has her shoes on her feet. Now, as we begin, our chapter 7 here begins, we again find our Lord Jesus, or our heavenly bridegroom, and he is describing the beauty of his church. And this is at least the third occasion in this Bible, in Solomon's song, that the groom, or that Solomon, boasts about the glorious beauty of his bride. Now, I want to say that we have nothing in ourselves to boast about. and I see nothing in me, that is, in this body, there dwells no good thing. But if the Lord so chooses to boast somewhat in you and I as His bride, He has all the right and the authority to do that. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, by the way. And He sees beauty in you and I that we do not see in ourselves. Somebody said, "Preacher, how can that be?" It is the beauty that has been placed there or made there by the grace of God. Brother Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, he said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." And so when the Lord looked upon her and said, "How beautiful are thy feet with shoes," He's simply rejoicing in what the grace of God has done in her life. Friend, I want to say without fear of controversy that the grace of God can take an old, vile, wretched, ungodly, wicked, hell-bound sinner and clean them up, wash them in His blood, and make them a beautiful thing in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. "How beautiful," He says, "are thy feet, and with shoes on." But I want us to notice something here, the reverse order in this chapter 7. In the other two chapters, our Lord begins to describe her from the head and goes down. He doesn't start with the feet and work His way up, but He begins with her head and describes the beauty of her hair and of her eyes and of her neck and on down her body until He consummates that. But it's not that way in chapter number 7. He begins with the feet and works His way up through her body. I want to say there is a reason for that. In fact, I've got three reasons for that. I think number one, when He talks about the beauty of her feet, He's revealing the humility of a child of God. Brother, I'll tell you that salvation will humble a haughty soul. I'm telling you that the haughty spirit still goes before a fall, and pride goes before destruction. And friend, there is no place in the life of a child of God for pride or arrogancy. No, sir, we have been made a humble individual. You know why? Because salvation enables us to see ourselves as we really are. I'm telling you, a harlot will never see herself as a vile and a refuge thing in the eyes of God until the grace of God begins to work in her life and reveals to her what sin is and how corrupt a sinner is in the eyes of Almighty God. And the same thing with a whoremonger, a thief, a cusser, a drinker, a vile person. Oh, yes, sir. And He starts at those feet, my friend, because He's telling us that the grace of God that's worked in us has humbled our hearts and made us a humble person in the eyes of Almighty God. Boy, there's no place now in a Christian's life for pride. Huh? Or rebellion. Or stiff-neckedness. No, sir. Or rebellion against authority. I'm going to tell you, a man or a woman that is proud and arrogant and rebellious toward the authority of the pastor and the local church, friend, it is because they have never humbled themselves in the presence of Almighty God and humbled themselves to the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, "I don't believe that. You can be wrong if you want to be." Amen to God. But I think, secondly, those feet, it shows that we are steadily balanced on the right foundation. The Bible said that He lifted me up out of a horrible pit. And He didn't set me bottom side up, friend, but He set me on my feet on that solid foundation. Now I'm telling you, a Christian will walk in a steady manner. Oh yes, sir. On that solid rock. I'm glad that He has given me a good foundation. And what He's saying is, your feet are on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad, thank God, that being on the foundation, I'm never going to sink. Hallelujah to God. I was sinking in the miry clay, but an unseen hand came out of nowhere and undergirded me, friend, and lifted me up out of the depths of the miry clay. Set my feet on a solid rock. Established my goings. Put a song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. I want to ask you something this morning. If you've really been birthed into the family of God, where is your praise and adoration for your God? Huh? Some of y'all this morning act like you waiting. Got your feelings stretched out on a line 20 miles long waiting for somebody to step on it. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm just about in the right mood today, bless God, to step on it. Huh? Buddy, I've come to worship the Lord. Huh? Amen. I'm steadily balanced. And by those feet, He's saying, you're not going to be double-minded. You're not going to be wishy-washy. You're going to be stable in all your ways. For a double-minded man is unstable, friend, in all his ways. I never seen so many uppers and downers. Reubens, unstable as branch water. Weak. Weak knee, can't stand for anything, and they'll fall for everything. Come on the house, children. Praise God. I saw a fellow that claims to be a preacher just a few days ago over in Muhlenberg County. Says he's a preacher and he's outside of mowing grass wearing his Bermuda shorts. First time I ever seen him. I've ever seen him without bib overalls on, but I saw him the other day with his shorts on. Looked like some kind of a tramp out of mowing his grass. Bless God, I'm here to tell you, friend, if God saves a man, He'll clean you up, set your feet on a solid rock, make a new creature in Christ out of you. Amen to God, and you'll walk uprightly on the foundation that God put under your feet. I won't charge you nothing for that now. But I like this reason why He starts with the feet. It proves that Christ loves the poor and the lowly. Just as much as those who are highly esteemed in the house of God. Son, I'm going to tell you, there are no big I's and little U's in God's family, friend. He doesn't have any favorites. He doesn't have any picks. He doesn't have any main choices. I'm telling you, the lowly, the most lowly esteemed in the eyes of God is loved and treated with just as much respect as the high mighty ones might be. In other words, that person that just sits in their pew and loves God is loved just as much as the preacher that stands behind this desk and preaches the Word of God. I think folks think that preachers of God have more love than what a church member has. But I'm here to tell you, friend, it ain't that way. God loves those that are lightly esteemed in the house of God as much as He does those that are highly esteemed in the house of God. He said the feet, your feet, the lowly part of your body, the less esteemed part of your body, that which is rarely recognized about your body, I love it just as much as I love your hair and your face and your temple. I love your feet just as much as I love the rest of your body. Now, I want to say this morning. Buddy, it's a pitiful Christian. It's a pitiful child of God. Come on in the house now. It's a pitiful child of God that can choose and pick and love members of their family more than they love another member in their family. Come on the house, young'uns. I won't charge you a thing for that. That's free this morning. I've got three children. I'm telling you, the devil used to crawl on my shoulder and say, "Preacher, I'm going to kill one of them." I'm telling you what I know, what it'll affect.
I'm going to kill one of them now. Which one of them do you want to die? I'm going to take one of them. My reply back to him was, go on back to hell where you belong. Amen. Amen to God. But I'd say in my heart, I can't pick between one of my children. Amen. I love one of them just as much as I love the other one. There ain't no favorites in my family, friend. I'd do for one of them just the same as I'd do for the other. And, oh, yes! God said, you feed that which is lightly esteemed in the church. That which is less esteemed in the church as others. I love just as much as I do those that are up in the hair and the eyebrows and one thing and another. Amen to God. But I want you to notice now, he doesn't say that your feet are just beautiful. I ain't got to the message yet. Hang on. If we're going to preach on, got my traveling shoes on. Notice that her feet is said to be beautiful. But they're beautiful with shoes on. Not too beautiful by themselves, but they're beautiful with shoes on. May I say to you that barefooted and without shoes in the Word of God is a shameful condition for a man or a woman to be in? Oh, yes, sir. When Isaiah, when God talks about Egypt going into captivity, He pronounces the judgment upon Egyptians. And He said, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners and the Ethiopians captive, young and old, naked and barefoot. Amen. Even with their buttocks uncovered. To the shame of Egypt, He says. I'm going to tell you, friend, as a child of God, it is a shame and a disgrace for us to have our feet uncovered. No, she said, in verse chapter 5, I've washed my feet. I've got my shoes off. How do you expect me to defile my feet again? He didn't expect her to defile them. He expected her to get up out of the bed and put her shoes on and start walking uprightly for God. Get your traveling shoes on this morning. We are going somewhere. Amen to God. I want to say, secondly, a barefooted Christian is a sign of sad affliction and sorrow. Remember old brother David when he was going up out of Jerusalem under Absalom's rebellion? The Bible, when he was a-fleeing, the Bible said in 2 Samuel 15:30, David went up by the ascent of the mount of Mount Olivet, and he wept as he went up, and he had his head covered, and he went up barefoot. So now I'm talking about a sad affair. Absalom had just dethroned him for the time being. He was under great affliction. And son, his feet, he wouldn't dare put on a pair of shoes because of the sadness and the sorrow and the heartache of his heart. Now, I'm here to tell you, hey, some of you sitting in here this morning, I can tell the Lord that you'll face that you ain't wearing no shoes. Son, it's traveling time. Get your shoes on and put a smile on your face. The affliction is past. We'll save by the grace of God. We're heaven bound with a hammer down. And son, there's no reason for us to be disquieted and our soul cast down and to be discouraged. Son, I'm filled into the day of redemption. By the grace of God, we are going to glory. Amen. That's right. I want to say thirdly that it's barefoot means you're unfit for travel. You ain't never seen too many folks travel barefooted. I think of those Indians that left North Carolina and went to Oklahoma in the Trail of Tears. They made them go barefoot. They wrapped rags around their feet. And anything that get on their feet to protect them from the cold and the muck and the mire and the frostbite. Unfit for travel. Somebody said, preacher, how do you know it's unfit for travel? Son, get this now if you don't get nothing I say today. When Israel was in the house of bondage and God told them to kill the Passover lamb, He said, here is how I want you to eat that Passover. He said, and then shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Oh, yeah. you shall eat it with haste. Come on in the house, children. He said, I'm getting ready to get you out of the world. It's time for you to put on your traveling shoes. Hallelujah to God. And make haste to get up out of the land of Egypt. I'm glad, thank God, that I got my traveling shoes on this morning. And God, by the Passover lamb, has called me out of the house of bondage, out of the iron furnace. Hallelujah to God. And called me in the Canaan land. Amen. Got your shoes on? Huh? Got your shoes on? But may I say that the beauty of those feet with shoes implies an honorable estate and dignity to which we are called to as a child of God. You know what the Lord said? What the Father said when the prodigal son come up out of that hog pen. He didn't say go in there and get a robe. He said get the best robe. Not just though any old robe won't do. But he said get the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring, and I couldn't hardly, he said, on his hand. And then he said put shoes on his feet. For he which was lost is now found. And he which was dead is alive. And he is the Father's Son. And there's no barefoot children in the family of God. He said, put a pair of shoes on that boy. I ain't going to say much about that because I'm going to use it again in a minute. Huh? But it also implies a prosperous spiritual condition. He is out of his carnal condition and is now walking prosperously. Got shoes on. As a boy, you know, when I was a boy, I used to have to go to school sometime barefoot, and I'm going to tell you, it was a disgrace. We hated to have to go to school. I've got a fifth grade picture of me at the house. And there's a boy there, Leon Porter, in fact, Miss Hall's cousin, first cousin. He's standing there with no shoes on, barefoot in the fifth grade of school. And when I was a boy raising up, son, you didn't want to wear them bunch of old baggy overalls and that's right, and big patches and all that mess and go barefoot and look like an idiot like they look today. No, sir, we wanted to look halfway decent. I'll never forget when I went into the eighth grade, a little old boy I run with was killed by a train, Ronnie Hessen, on the railroad track there in Underwood, and they gave me his pants and shirt that he was going to wear to school on the first day of school. I still remember. A pair of black slacks and a pullover blue short sleeve shirt. And son, I'm going to tell you what. I just about let it rot off of me. I hadn't had anything like that on my back in all my life. We were poor folks. Raised up poor folks. Had to roll. Got one pair of shoes a year, and if they wore out, son, we just went barefoot. But that was a sign of shame and disgrace. But oh, and I'm not bragging about financial prosperity. But honey, I got three pair of rock ports sitting under my bed right now, glory to God. I'm telling you, God's been good, but better than those rock ports. He has prospered me spiritually and blessed me and elevated me to a place, to a child of God, son. I'm a child of a king. I'm not a child of the devil. Oh no, I'm not a stepchild or a stepson. Like many said in Sunday school, I've been freeborn into the family of God, into the glory. Glorious liberty of the children of God. I found liberty in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I want to say thirdly, them shoes implies a readiness and a promptness of obedience to whatever we're called to do. Huh? Got my traveling shoes on. Are you ready to travel this morning? Are you ready? Are you ready? I want to go back to this and say that we ought to be ready. Those shoes stand for our renunciation of the world. Come on now, children, smile at me. It stands for our renunciation of the world and all worldly ways, my friends. Because when they come out of Egypt, they eat the Passover with haste, with their shoes on. They said, "Brother, I'm ready to get out of this world." And I'm telling you, friend, I'm ready to leave this world. I told the men in the Sunday school hour, "Buddy, the older I get, if there is such a word, the gladder I am that I'm saved by the grace of God. Oh, I'm in the world, but I'm not of this world. I've renounced the world and resolved in my heart that Jesus is before me, the cross before me, and the world behind me. There's no turning back, no looking back, giving up, letting down, but I'm going on." Somebody said, "Preacher, what are you going to do when you come to the Red Sea? I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord and watch the waters part and I might cross on the other side." Somebody said, "Well, what about the Jordan River? I'm going to set my feet in the brim of the water, son, and watch her stand up on a heap and go on over into the promised land God's called me to." Hallelujah. Yes. Sir. Somebody said, "Why have you renounced the world?" And get this now. I said, "In all worldly ways." Huh? That includes Hollywood. Atlanta Braves. Kentucky Pussycats. Indiana Hoosiers. Some of y'all don't even know enough about Indiana history to know where that name come from. Do you know? I can tell you. In our 7th grade Indiana history book. Who's there? Hoosier. The Hoosier state, buddy. The Hoosier state. But the hurrying Hoosiers ain't on my top priority list. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world, friend. I'm leaving this world behind. Somebody said, "How? Why, preacher?" And I've got three reasons. I want to get on to the second thing, really, is what I want to preach on. Because we're strangers here. Amen. Strangers and pilgrims. Old Abraham, when God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, he went out looking for a city that had foundations whose builder and maker was God. And the Bible talks about those first 6 people in Hebrews 11, said these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Have you seen them afar off this morning? Have you got your eyes up off the world? I tell you why folks is worldly as hell and live like a devil, son. Because their eyes are yet glued to the world and the ways of the world and society that we're living in. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a real stranger and a pilgrim in this land, friend, you don't have your eyes, or you've seen something afar off, and you're persuaded of them, and you've confessed that they, that we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And you know what that word stranger means? It means to belong to another country. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm glad I belong to another country. Oh yeah, my heart is already home. I'm a living over on the other side because I am a citizen of heaven itself. Oh yes, my friend, I'm an alien in this world below. That's why I've renounced it. Huh? That's right. Now I got to hurry. Got a long way to go. I'm going to say the second reason I've renounced this world is the world's structure is temporal. Come on, the house, youngins. It is a temporary establishment here. Somebody said, "How do you know that, preacher?" 2 Peter 3:10, "The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Why do you want to attach yourself to this thing? It's either going up in a flame, buddy. Somebody said, "How's it going?" I don't know. But there's enough atoms that God could use the big bomb, son, to do the job. Amen. You get a chain reaction on these atoms, son, and they'll go. I believe it was Brother Whitlow said he saw a documentary or something at the hospital or something a few days ago or a while back and said that bomb they dropped on Hiroshima back in 1945 killed something like 140-some thousand people. They turned around, dropped one on Nagasaki, and sent 167,000 people from one little bomb. Now, I'm telling you, the heat was so tremendous that it melted everything that it come in contact with. Now, buddy, they've got bombs today that'll make those things look like firecrackers, honey. By the way, he said also the heavens will be dissolved. And the earth shall melt with a fervent heat. This structure, son, that we call hope, ain't our hope. She is going to dissolve someday in the presence of God. You know what it's like? Hanging on to this world is like trying to hold on to air. You can't get a hold of it. There ain't nothing there. It's temporal, friend. It's a vanishing thing. The structure is temporal. I want to say, thirdly, the sin that abounds here. It's why I've renounced it. I saw a woman, a heifer, over the other day, took Brother Ricky to the store to get a money order. She's a black woman, had on a black miniskirt, no underclothes under it. I'm telling you, it's one of the most horrible sights I've ever seen in my life. Rings, diamonds in her, studded in her nose and in her ears. Her upper anatomy hanging plumb out, and a tattoo on the right one, a tattoo on her right shoulder. Somebody said, "Oh, preacher, that stuff don't bother me." I'm telling you, that bull bothers me, buddy. Amen. That's right, I ain't got high. Somebody said, "Now, preacher, I like the look on that." I'm going to tell you what it does. It makes me sick. Son, we're living in a sinful society. Oh, but I'm going to tell you what St. Peter said in that same chapter. Nevertheless, Brother Andrew, we look for what? A new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Hallelujah to God. This one's going by the way of the furnace, and the heavens is going to dissolve and be taken away. But son, I'm looking for a new heaven and a new earth where dwelleth righteousness. And there'll be righteousness in both of them. Somebody said, "When's the world going to end?" It ain't. Jews are going to live here for all eternity, friend. You can believe that or lump it or hump it or bump it. Don't make no difference to me. But the kings of the earth are going to bring their treasures to the gate of New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Those shoes are renunciation of the world and worldly ways. But he said, eat it with haste. Put your shoes on. I want to say that it also reveals our readiness to spread the gospel. And there's where I've been wanting to get to. Now, your feet down, youngins. Are you ready? Have you got your traveling shoes on? Son, we're going into a 2-week tent meeting to evangelize. Somebody said, "Oh, Muhlenberg County don't need it." Don't tell me that. Some Muhlenberg County needs it. Hopkins County needs it. Webster County needs it. Davis County needs it. McLean County needs it. Henderson County needs it. And the state of Kentucky needs it. And says for you, Indiana needs it also. Clark County needs it. Scott County needs it. I'm telling you, friend, we need to evangelize, and we better have our shoes on and ready to travel with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Somebody said, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, he said in Ephesians 6:15, he's given all that armor, he said, "in your feet shod." Last time I looked up that word shod, means put on a pair of shoes. Amen. Having your feet shod. Amen. With the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen. Put on your gospel shoes, honey. Amen. Put on your gospel shoes. And be ready to carry the gospel, I'd venture to say. That these people, men, I guarantee you, these men sitting in this congregation, they ain't never told anybody about God. You ain't never passed out a track. You ain't never told anybody about God. Where's your shoes? Having your feet shod. Eat that Passover in haste. With your shoes on, ready to move, son. Ready to spread the gospel of Christ. He didn't say go into two or three places. He said go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Now I want to show you something this morning, friend. We are debtors.
Amen.
We owe a debt.
Amen.
To society. Paul said in Romans chapter number 1, he said, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Both to the wise and the unwise." He said, "Hey, anybody, the learned, the unlearned, the ignorant, the educated, black, white, red, yellow, bless God, it don't make any difference to me what color their skin is." He said, "So as much as in me is." I'm ready. Paul said, praise God, I'm ready.
Amen.
To preach the gospel to you there in Rome also.
Yes.
You know what I told that crowd in Mexico? I said, I'm ready.
Yes.
To preach to you the gospel. I'm ready. To preach to you the gospel right here this morning. I'm ready to preach it, son. To the high and mighty and to the low and lowly.
Amen.
To the big crowds and the little crowds. It makes no difference to me. Old brother Paul said, I preach to the rich and the poor. I preach to the big crowds and I preach to the little crowds. For they all need to hear the gospel.
Amen.
Oh, and he said, I'm ready. I want to ask you something this morning. Are you ready?
Amen.
Old brother John Fletcher called me not for life. Hell, yeah. You doing all right? Good dog, good. Yeah. Said, I just want to get my ducks in a row. I said, praise God, what ducks you talking about, John? He said, I know you coming to the meeting. I know you coming to the meeting. But he said, I just want to make sure you're coming to the meeting.
Amen.
He said, do you reckon you could preach one of them two nights? I said, I'll be there, Brother John.
Amen.
Somebody said, I wouldn't go preach to them blacks. I've heard men say they ain't got a soul.
Amen.
Son, I'm ready to preach, Miss Sheriff.
Yes.
Oh, yes, I try to stay ready to preach.
Amen.
I'll tell you, there's nothing that thrills my soul anymore than to get up in front of a crowd, son, and tell folks that there's a bomb in Gilead. There's a sympathizer in Zion, son. There's a prayer that'll reach down into the mortal soul of a man that's fallen into sin and iniquity and lift them up, my friend, of their depravity and make them a child of Almighty God. He came unto his own. Somebody said, that's the greatest trip that's ever been made. We talk about taking trips, but I'm going to say Jesus made a trip one time. He came unto his own. Amen. And the greatest tragedy, but his own received him not. What's that third thing, Whitlow?
Greatest transaction.
But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Hallelujah to God. Son, it's not a burden for me to tell you that.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, you tell that to us every week. Well, maybe some of you will get saved one of these days.
Amen.
I was going to keep on telling it, son.
Yes,
Paul said, I'm ready.
Amen.
And he said, I'm a debtor. You know what that word debtor means? It means to be delinquent. It means to come behind. He said, you know what delinquency is, don't you? Anybody ever had a car payment and couldn't make it? Ever had a light bill and they sent you a notice and said, delinquent notice? That means that money that's printed up there on that thing, you behind on, you owe that. Paul said, I'm delinquent. I'm a debtor. And I'm delinquent to them people. I can't even get y'all stirred up about Mexico. I like to start Sun and Shield, a Light and Truth Baptist Church down in Colima, Mexico. Oh, somebody said, preacher, that ain't nothing to me down there. Look at them little faces. Look at those dark-skinned faces, my friend. Tell me that it means nothing to us. Paul said, I'm ready. Are you ready to preach the gospel? Are you ready to preach the gospel? Are you ready to spread the gospel? How is it that song says? Wherever men are found, spread the tidings all around. Hallelujah to God. He said, how beautiful are the feet. How beautiful are the feet of them that spread, carry glad tidings of joy. How beautiful are the feet of them upon the mountains that carry glad tidings, Isaiah said. And Solomon said, your feet, you've got beautiful feet with shoes on. You're ready to walk and ready to carry the gospel. Don't nobody leave me now. I believe y'all trying to leave. I won't say because I'm ready to preach. Because of its transforming power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul said, it is the power of God unto salvation. All that believe to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Son, I'm telling you, it'll transform. I am not gloating in what I was. But I want you to take one good look, son, at a dried up lush.
Amen.
I'm talking about Annie Green Springs, Ripple. Oh yeah, I'm talking about Mogan David.
Amen.
I'm talking about that good Pabst blue ribbon and all. Take a good look at a dried up lush. Somebody said, well, brother, anybody can quit that off. We all, I just don't know if anybody can do that and then do the work of grace God's done in old brother Hart. Grace! Grace! Marvelous grace! Grace of our loving Lord! Grace to pardon! Grace to cleanse! Grace to transform! A grace to make anew! Grace to create over again! Grace to take the clay and make a lump that is pleasing to Almighty God! He took a whore by the name of Mary Magdalene. Run seven devils of hell out of her. Made her the sweetest child in all this world. All she ever wanted to do was sit at his feet and worship him. And tell me there's a crowd now that Martha was lost. Because she never did sit at Jesus' feet. But I'm going to tell you what you see in Martha and Mary. You see the type of one servant in the two. One a servant and the other a worshiping. And I'm going to tell you, you need to worship and you need to serve both. Amen. And you can't do one right without the other one.
Woo! Transforming power!
I wonder how many whores today that's way up yonder could stand up and say, Brother Hall, look what the grace of God done. I've never gotten over that story Harold Sotler told Brother Ricky. About that old harlot that got saved by the grace of God, son. In Greensboro, North Carolina, 20 years later, come walking up Doc Sadler. He's standing there on the platform. She said to Doc Sadler, said, I just want to come down and say hi to you. He said, you do know me. And he said, you have to forgive me. I just don't remember. He said, you remember that harlot up in Greensboro, North Carolina that met you in that restaurant that day with that envelope of money for the Bright Spot Hour that was saved listening to the Bright Spot Hour? He said, you're not her. And she said, I am that same harlot 20 years later. And old Doc Sadler said, well, what in the world are you doing in Greenville, South Carolina? And she said, I drove all the way just to tell you that it's still good.
Brother Shaddy, that's still good. Hallelujah.
If God be for us, who can be against us? And I'm telling you, I've never seen anybody transformed that was ever untransformed. I don't know a pair that can untransform what God's made. I don't know a pair that can unmake what God has already made.
Amen.
A bunch of Armenian gossip and doctrine and hell that's being propagated across our land. I won't charge you nothing. People don't know how to rightly divide the Scripture. That person, I'm not going to tell you what that person told me yesterday. Said, well, said, but Brother Hall said, our pastor says that no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. No man. But said, doesn't say anything about God. I said, well, I said, man, I said, you've got to rightly divide the Word of Truth. I said, sure. He said, no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. My Father, which gave me, is greater than all. No man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. I said, sure. You've got to understand that. But you've got to, and I know it says man, but you've got to understand that Jesus was God. And in the same book, he said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So what he's saying, God not going to cast you out. Man ain't going to cast you out. Son, you held in the palm of God's hand in an omnipotent. I said an omnipotent friend. In an omnipotent, sovereign, glorious, eternal, powerful hand of Almighty God. I'm ready to preach because of a transforming power. I'm ready to preach because of its righteousness. Because of the revelation of its righteousness. And I don't have time to go into all this. For he said in verse number 17 of Romans 1, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Therein what? The gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. And it's revealed from faith to faith. Who do you think reveals it from faith to faith? Those that have faith.
Amen.
Come on, youngins. The righteousness of God, friend, is revealed in you and I. That Calvary has made a difference in us. And if we believe that Calvary makes a difference. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Oh, yes. Ready to spread the gospel. I'm ready to preach. Come on in the house now, youngins. We ain't done. I want to say secondly, in the shoes on our feet and spread the gospel, not only ready to preach, I'm ready to pray. Ain't no need to tell them sinners about God's ain't going to pray.
Amen.
By the way, gentlemen, we have prayer meetings on Saturday nights around here.
Amen.
Had 15 last night, counting the boys.
Amen.
Reverend Whitlow got up and exhorted us for about 25 minutes.
Amen.
On that Spirit of God over in Luke number 11.
Amen.
Wonderful.
Amen.
Wonderful preaching. Are we ready to pray? I'm glad John chapter number 17, the Lord prayed for me.
Amen.
I'm glad I had a little old mama praying for me.
Amen.
When nobody else cared, mama cared for my soul.
Yeah.
Are we a praying? I'm here to tell you, if we're ready to spread the gospel, if we've really been to Calvary, then we ought to be ready to pray, my friend, and ask God and beg God for the power to be upon us that we might carry the gospel. Somebody said, preacher, I can't witness to nobody. I got news for you. Neither could I until that day when the power fell.
Amen.
When I come up out of them shavings down yonder in Greer, I had a power I never had before.
Amen.
What I want you to do is come and pray and ask God for that power.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
But you shall receive power.
Amen.
After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Yes.
And you shall be witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And all at the same time. Both. That word both means all at the same time. How can that be? How can that be? Radio stations, local visitation, camp, tent revival, internet going into all the world. Had a little old Mexican boy come up to me down there in that camp and said, Hermano Hall, I hear your church. Said, what is he talking about? That boy hear my church. I hear your church. I said, my son, you must be confused. I said, how do you hear my church? And he said, internet.
Amen.
In a escuela.
Amen.
In the school.
Amen.
And I thought, isn't that a marvel?
Amen.
There's old Brother Hall. Preaching the gospel in a 12th grade classroom down in Monterey, Old Mexico.
Amen.
Woo! Somebody said, preacher, that don't do nothing for me. Buddy, it does for me. I'm ready to spread the gospel. I'm a debtor.
Amen.
I'm ready to preach. I'm ready to pray. Some of you better smile because it ain't going to get no better. I'm ready to be a personal witness. He that goeth, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him.
Amen.
Huh? Are you ready to go as a personal witness? This one's the one that's going to get you. I'm ready to go in my pocketbook. How about you? Somebody said, now, preacher, I've got to lay up money. I've got to save some. Honey, you better be saving it up in heaven's bank.
Amen.
It is high time that we quit being cheap screws.
Amen.
With our money.
Amen.
I knew it'd get quiet now.
Amen.
Appreciate that.
Yes.
About time we start laying up some treasures on the other side, folks. I'm ready, said. Eat that Passover with your shoes off. When God saved you, son, He put a readiness in you to carry the gospel.
see what time it is here.
Amen.
We won't preach another half hour. In your pocketbook. Renunciation of the world. Readiness to spread the gospel. And this third one. So I didn't want to say too much about that old prodigal son. Those shoes represent our righteousness in Christ. They cover up the flesh. They are a garment of clothing. But get this here. Hey, did it ever occur to you where that prodigal was at? Where at, Miss Sharon? What do you reckon is found in most hog pens? I got a feeling when it rains, it ain't very rotted up. Can you imagine that prodigal coming to, just as I am, without one plea, that thy blood is shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. And there comes that old prodigal. And I can imagine when the father saw him afar off, said, "My God, go get the best rope and a ring. And put some shoes." I put it this way. I said, "Those shoes cover our defilement."
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
You know what? When I was out there in the world, just walked through it, stomped through it, didn't bother me a bit. Huh? Yeah, just slop all, just lay down, just slop, roll around that bunch of hogs.
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you something anymore. I kind of... Woo-wee. Nice. Kind of tiptoe around them places. We was over at that trying to get some shavings the other day, and they had on there that $6 a bucket. And I thought they said $6 a 5-gallon bucket, and it occurred to me standing right over there last night, they were talking about a bucket from a big loader. So I said, "That's too much money," and we didn't mind. That's pretty dumb, church. You got a pretty dumb pastor. So we were standing inside that old building, and I heard that stuff. Tam, 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 tam. Brother Ricky said, let's step outside. Pretty sure we just stepped outside. Miss Ruth took us to eat yesterday, Cracker Barrel. Brother Ricky, we sat down, and he said, "Do you hear that, preacher?" No, I couldn't tell what it was. But a little bit later, I was suddenly getting ready to eat, and I heard that old song, "Trailers on Sailor. Turn that mess off." Why? "Done got my traveling shoes on." You surely wouldn't take the righteousness of Christ and muck around in the muck and the mire of the world. Huh? We was at Scottsburg a few weeks ago. My daddy died. Drove down by the ferry dock. Miss Hall said, "Well," said, "they've got that paid." Talking about that. Hey, man. I used to get out there and walk through that mess in the rain and the muck all over the shoes and think I was a top cat. You know what I'm saying? Winking at them little girls. Don't tell my wife I said that. But I looked over at that place. We drove by it. Miss Hall said, "You remember that?" I said, "Y'all down there in the corners where all those boys used to jump the fence to get in without paying." We drove a little bit further down the road, and I stopped in my mind and looked back. I started singing that old song in my heart, "Thanks to Calvary. I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, I don't live there anymore. Yesterday I went back to the place where I used to live, but I just looked at it from a distance and said, 'Thanks to Calvary.'"
One of the kids said the other day when we was at Papa's funeral, we drove by an old place up there. I don't know which one of them it was. You. Wasn't it? So we used to go in there and eat when we was little kids. Tony and Paula sold that liquor. I drove by there the other day. Burnt to the ground. I said, thanks to Calvary. I don't come here no more.
Amen.
Amen, sir.
All
right.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Now get this now. I'm about done. That covers my defilement, those shoes. But here's the part of it I like best. Brother Ricky went down to Goody's the other day and they made him for a set of tucks, his boys getting married, under his tent. They made him for a set of tucks. I heard him and his wife talking. I didn't catch all of it. But something about a pair of black shoes. And Rick said, I'll just buy a new pair of black shoes. Why go to all that expense, Brother Ricky? Why don't you just put your tucks on and go barefoot to that camp, that wedding? I'm going to tell you why. Because there ain't nobody complete, friend, without some shoes on their feet. And I'm
going
to tell you what Paul said. He said, I am complete in Christ. He not only put the robe and the ring on, but son, he complete.
Hey.
He finished the product. He put the shoes on the foot. You ain't seen the finished product in Old Hall yet, buddy. You just, hey, I'm waiting for the wit, the redemption. When I roll off that assembly line, I'm going to have the robe and the ring and honey, them shoes. Woo! Going to be a shot. Covered the pavement and complete in Him. Everything that we need. Those shoes represent the complete work of Christ. Ain't that wonderful? Somebody said, but preacher, he told Moses to take them off. But you've got to rightly divide the Scripture, son. And in Moses' case, them shoes represented Moses. Man-made stuff. Man-made. Take them off, Moses. Don't hold the ground. What about you? You ready? Got your traveling shoes on this morning? Have you renounced the world? Ready to spread the gospel? Put on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Let's stand together, please. Thank you, Lord. Y'all ready? We're going to find out this week how ready we are to spread the gospel. We're going to find out this week whether we love God more than the world. We're going to find out this week if we're ready to pay the sacrifice. Are you ready? Got your traveling shoes on? I hope so. Father, I thank You, Lord, for the morning hour. Thank You for Thy people and their patience. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for the goodness of God in the land of the living. Thank You for the Sunday school hour. Thank You for Thy people, their faithfulness. Thank You for Brother Ricky and his good wife. I pray You'll bless them. That You'll bless, Father, the meeting that's just a day away. May precious, precious souls be saved, delivered. May Thy glorious name be magnified, exalted. May a great work of God be done, a work that will make the ears of the unbelievers tingle
Please show mercy and grace, even in this service this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Brother Jim, 293 this morning while these are praying. Are you ready? 293. Let's sing, Brother George. 293. I'm really ready. Somebody said it's late, preacher. It may be later than you think for some of you. You better quit worrying about time and worrying about your relationship with God, friend. Because time someday will stand still. And it'll catch you. Take my word for it. Take my word for it. You're moving much faster than time, but it will catch you. How's your relationship with Him? Somebody said, "Oh, preacher, I remember the time I knelt and prayed." But are you living it? Are you really living it? When you come out of Egypt, did you put them shoes on? Are you really ready? Are you ready to die? Somebody said, "Preacher, sometimes you preach off a heart. Yeah, they're hard to live with, but they'd be good to die with, friend." You better believe I'm going to prod you and punch you and poke you every way I can to get to find out if the truth is in you. Not for my sake, but for yours. I know I'm saved and going to glory. For your sake.
Amen.